Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, July 1st already. I'm Ray Graff. If you're looking to make some improvements around the house, we have the guy for you today. We welcome back professional engineer, construction specialist, Darren Tracy. He's ready to answer your home maintenance and repair questions. Darren has extensive experience in construction, plumbing, renovation, property management. He joins us every few months or so to offer his expertise. It's always a popular show. Call early, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can email the program at voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org, or 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy and your calls coming up after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's home maintenance, repair, and improvement today. We welcome back Darren Tracy. Darren is a licensed professional engineer with experience in construction, renovation, and property management. Darren is a Building Performance Institute certified building analyst and a licensed master plumber. He runs the West Branch Engineering Consulting and Construction Firm, and he is current president of the Capital District Chapter of the New York State Society of Professional Engineers. You got a question? Give a call. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Mr. Darren Tracy, welcome back. Hot enough for you?
Thank you, Ray. Yes, I rode my motorcycle and almost too hot to ride a motorcycle.
Really? I mean, you think the wind whipping through your...
You would think so.
Yeah, but not working out, huh?
It's baked by the sun. I've got shorts on, short sleeve shirt, and I forgot my sunscreen.
Well, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's another show, but we'll bring that up with a dermatologist next time. 800-348-2551 if you have a home improvement question for Darren Tracy. I did not know you were current president of the Capital District Chapter of New York State Society of Professional Engineers.
In a weak moment, I volunteered. I've been part of the organization for decades, it seems like, and I just didn't want to be president, but nobody else stepped up, so I did, and, you know, it's almost a part-time job.
Well, really?
Yeah.
Well, I understand you have some scholarships and whatnot to talk about, so
right.
Let's do that.
That's a nice segue into that.
One of the
things that we do is raise money for high school seniors in the many county area. It's like 10 counties around the Capital District, extending all the way up to St. Lawrence County, Franklin County. And high school seniors, they apply for the scholarships, and we give them money.
Okay.
And we're a small organization. We gave out about 10 scholarships at $1,000 a piece. I'll just quickly read their names and what school they're from if I can. Okay. So it's Addison Knappick from Burnt Hills, Ava Ott from Saratoga Springs, Callan Stabler from Niskayuna, Cassius Famolero from Niskayuna, Connor Reynolds, Niskayuna, Dominic Keegan from South Glens Falls, Ewan Lederer Barnes from Cambridge, Joshua Nix, Saratoga Springs, Parker McCollum, Ichabod Crane, Riley Murphy, Burnt Hills, Ryan Reed, Niskayuna.
Wow.
And we had a recent ceremony, and also part of this ceremony was Young Engineer of the Year for 2026.
Who was that?
Of our chapter. It was Rebecca Sheely King. She's a professional engineer, a structural engineer, and she is also going to be New York State Young Engineer of the Year and awarded that presentation in August at our 100-year-old celebration of our organization this year down in New York City. So that's good. And lastly, we awarded Ryan Biggs Clark Davis Engineering a Project of the Year for Lincoln Park Pool renovations in Albany.
Fantastic.
So that's what we've been doing lately, and that's part of my part-time job.
That's tell you what, do you need any more work? I don't know.
No, I don't need any more work.
Well, you know, that when you take some time off, do what I do, you turn the phone off and no one can get a hold of you.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I have a hard time turning that off because I end up not hearing a message from that's relatively important.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Everyone's tethered to the hive and I'm sick of it. Hey, by the way, you know, speaking of Tethered to the Hive, I have a boss now. Chris Gauthier is the executive producer. We saw him on the way in.
Right.
He's got a hammer for a tattoo.
He does.
What's up with that?
Well, I identified it as a hammer with a leather handle.
Yeah.
And he told me that was an East Wing hammer. And that's
it's an East Wing? I thought it was an S Wing.
Maybe it's S Wing.
I don't know. East Wing? Is that from the
White
House? Yeah,
S Wing. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trump's got one over there working on the ballroom.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever had one of those in his hand except for maybe, let me not go there.
Fairly enough, I don't think I've ever had one in my hand either, so there you go, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not president. 800-348-2551 is our number. Oh, my good heavens, it's time to play another edition of Name That Tool. And, I know what this one is.
Okay, well, usually we'll briefly discuss before the show what the tool is.
Yeah.
We haven't spoken about this at all, so I will just say that I'm looking for the name brand of this particular type of tool, not what it is. As in, if you have an adjustable wrench, it's commonly called a crescent wrench.
Right.
So that's what I'm looking for on this. I'm looking for the colloquial term, the name brand.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
You said you took your motorcycle here.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big tool. Where'd you have room for that?
Oh, I've got a storage rack on that bike.
All right, yeah. Fair enough. So this looks like...
I'll hand it over. You can play with it.
Looks like a medieval torture device of some kind. Yeah, all right, made in the U.S. of A. Torquemada has nothing to do with this one. All right, so this is...
The name brand is on it. And that's what I'm looking for.
Okay. Should we say what it is?
Well, describe it physically.
Oh, gosh. I got to do this again? All right. It's got two pieces of wood that are about the size of a small child, a medium-sized child's shoe. And they look like they're mirror images of one another. And there are two handled devices that have threaded metal things that go through both of them. And presumably, okay, so if I move one of these, if I turn it, it changes. They'll get closer together, both in the front and in the back. There are two of these things. And, okay, I actually don't know what this is. So, all right, you can describe it more if you wish. It's hot. I don't know.
I think that's good for now.
All right,
see if we get any calls on that.
Name that tool. And you're looking for the actual name brand. Why is that?
Well, because you can describe what it is, and it's kind of generic what it is, but more specifically, it's a kind of like a famous name brand. Like
okay. For
an adjustable wrench, Crescent is a famous name brand, so that's kind of what I'm looking for.
Okay, fair enough. All right, let's do a couple of emails here, then we'll take a break, and then we'll hit the phones. Darren Tracy's our guest today. Matt is in Sullivan County. Says, I recently had a small leak repaired in part of the propane gas line to my house that is above ground. The repair consisted of a half-inch galvanized pipe, which is attached to the regular 3/8 copper gas line. Part of the repair is about 6 feet above the ground. No, 6 inches above the ground, I'm sorry. Is there anything I can use to cover up the exposed piping to protect it from the elements all year round? Would a tarp be sufficient? If so, what's the best material for the tarp, or are there any other options? And that's from Matt in Sullivan County.
Gosh, I'm not totally picturing that, but I'm thinking of some sort of a sleeve, like a 4-inch diameter perforated pipe, ADS sleeve.
Why does it have to be perforated?
It doesn't have to be perforated.
Okay.
That's typically that ADS pipe is mm-hmm. foundation drainage pipe
okay.
is perforated, and then you could slice that longitudinally and put it around the pipe to protect it.
Okay. One more email, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll hit the phones. Darren Tracy's our guest, and it's home maintenance, repair, and improvement today. Peter writes in from Saratoga Springs. Hi, Darren. Looking to replace our 1928 vintage Anderson windows, and I'm confused by the options. We're going to go with all black windows. What are your thoughts on the fiberglass cladding as compared to the vinyl cladding? Better energy efficiency? Better longevity? Just different? The stock answer I hear is, well, it's a personal preference. It seems like the all fiberglass seems like the lowest maintenance option, and that is from Peter in Saratoga Springs.
Okay, I'm not familiar with fiberglass cladding on windows. I'm familiar with fiberglass cladding on doors, and they are lower maintenance than other door claddings. Anderson windows, they're famous for a wood internal framework, and then on the outside for longevity, they clad it with a vinyl. They're a nice window.
Okay.
So.
All right. So guess what, man?
Yeah.
We already have a winner.
Oh, really?
Mark writes in, doesn't say where, just one word. Jorgensen.
Jorgensen clamp.
So what is the thing?
Well, it's a wood clamp, and you were twirling the handles, and what's interesting about these, you can make these clamp heads parallel or not parallel.
Yeah, interesting,
so
yeah.
They're opposite thread.
Right.
And there's an interesting story behind these. These were invented, I think, in 19, I'm not looking at my phone, but around early 1900s.
Yeah.
By Adele Hoffman or something like that. She was a famous opera singer. She wanted to go into a business with this guy, this cabinet maker from Finland. His name was Jorgensen.
Yeah.
And then one other guy who was a salesman, a woodworker salesman, and they came up with this pony.
So who
Jorgensen
married who?
Clamp.
I'm confused.
I don't know if anyone married anybody there. But,
I see.
Interesting story, and
there's much more to this story.
Yeah, I mean, they're really handy clamps because of the ability to clamp them parallel or non-parallel.
Okay,
the woodworkers use them all the time.
Now, Barker also got this Jorgensen wood clamp. So that's two winners. We have our winners in Name That Tool. We'll take a break here. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. A little underwriting, a little Frank Zappa, and then we'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. It's Darren Tracy Day today, home maintenance, repair, and improvement. Mark wrote back, says, yeah, I'm a carpenter from Amherst. Love those clamps, those Jorgensen clamps. So I guess, you know, these people know how to do this stuff. And do you use those often?
Occasionally.
Yeah? Where do you keep them all? I mean, you have so many tools,
I clamp these on the underside of a floor joist in our basement. They're just hanging
Oh, really?
There. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yep.
All right, let's grab a call or two. I know we have some topics that are really important right now, and we'll get to those in a minute. But let's go to Deborah, who's been waiting a while. Deborah in Bennington, Vermont, you're on. Hello.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm wondering what you consider to be the best waterproof treatment for a cement basement floor, because it's part of the interior of the house, so I don't want to use the most toxic thing on the planet.
Yeah, all right. So, you know, general types are better than brand names, you know, unless you have a couple brand names.
Okay, well.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I was talking to Darren. He's going to answer your question now.
Okay, the best way to waterproof a basement floor is from below the concrete. Before you pour the slab, you put a vapor barrier there. That's called the positive side.
Okay, no. This is a house I'm moving into, so it's already poured.
It's already floored.
Yep.
So there's no great product to apply to the top side of the concrete. It's called the negative side, and if you don't have a vapor barrier on the bottom, then moisture wants to drive up. One product helps to a certain degree is a crystalline product. You apply it, and it goes into the pores of the concrete and grows crystals, and that tends to help with the waterproofing.
It's called crystalline?
A crystalline waterproofing product.
Okay.
Okay.
It grows crystals.
Yeah.
Give me like a brand without promoting it so I can have a clue when I walk into the hardware store.
Search a chemical company, BASF, or Sika, S-I-K-A.
I'm sorry, Deborah, you're not hearing it?
Okay, I am not online. I am going to be physically walking
into
the door, believe it or not.
Okay, that's fine. I appreciate that you're not online. You said one was BASF.
Yeah, search the chemical company BASF. They make the product, and also another company called Sika, S-I-K-A. Sika makes products that you can find in big box stores.
And you should be able to find one of those when you go into the store, Deborah.
Absolutely. Thank you, gentlemen.
Have a good one. 800-348-2551, the telephone number. Darren Tracy's our guest today. And let's see. Let's go to Ballston Lake. Robert, how are things at the lake today?
All right. Sunny.
Nice.
And nice.
Good.
beautiful day.
Excellent.
Hot and humid.
Huh. Okay. Well, that was a good forecast and a good weather condition. What's on your mind, Robert?
Grounded outlets. I wondered if I should have them installed.
Grounded outlets. Should Robert have them installed?
The short answer is yes. All new electrical construction would have a grounding wire, third wire. For instance, you'd have Romex, say 12-2 in ground. It's a neutral, and then a bare copper wire that ties into a grounding screw on your outlet. So, yes, if in old houses, some old houses do not have the grounding screw, but they may have a metal coating shield on the outside of the wire, BX cable, I believe it's called, or MC cable, and that can be tied into the outlet too. But if you're doing some new work, you definitely want grounding outlets.
Robert.
Yes.
You want to follow up, sir?
No.
Okay. Thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. And Darren Tracy's our guest today. Briefly, before we go to the next call, you sent me some links, which I put on the page for today's show, from NYSERDA. And I believe I put one, an analogous one from Massachusetts up there as well. Explain what it's all about.
Okay, NYSERDA has two programs, one called Comfort Home and one called Empower. And they are grants for energy efficiencies, home energy efficiencies.
Yeah.
So if you income qualify through Empower or in a certain predetermined geography zone, they will provide up to $12,000 worth of energy improvements, such as insulation in your attic, air sealing in your basement. So I'm urging people to take advantage of those because
energy ain't cheap.
Energy is a problem in the country, in the world, and if we can pick some low hanging fruit, buy some relatively easy energy improvements that are. State and federal government is helping us pay for and undertake, go for it. The other program, Comfort Home, any income would be eligible for that program. Not as much money available, but there is up to $2,500 available for attic insulation and air sealing. So
that's I was interested in that. I was checking that out today.
I mean, and I called NYSERDA. Contractors. You do it through the contractors. You go on their website and you find a list of contractors by county. You contact the contractors. It seemed like kind of a hassle. I contacted three or four, left messages, and sent emails. And I actually did get return calls, return emails within a day or two.
Yeah.
So there is red tape. You have to dig into it. You have to work for it a little bit, but there are funds available. Also, you get a free energy audit. That is absolutely free of your home. So it's good stuff. I urge people to take advantage of it.
And those links are on the webpage at WAMC.org. Just look for the link for today's program. It should be on the front page for a while. Go back to the phones in a second. Jay writes in, I have a ranch house with an uninsulated attic. The floor space is 25 feet by 50 feet, about 7 feet to peak, with a sort of low roof pitch. What size attic fan would you recommend for the gable end to pull out the hot air? Is there a capable solar fan available?
Yeah, I wouldn't install a fan. I would go for insulation first. It's uninsulated. Well, definitely that's another segue right into what we were just talking about, the attic insulation. An attic with no insulation is very energy inefficient.
Yeah.
Current code is R49, so get some insulation in there. Preferably, you'd want a ridge vent up at the top of your roof versus a fan, a natural ventilation, air coming in through the soffits, the overhanging part of the house. It moves up and goes out the ridge. So that's ideally what I would do. If that's not enough, you could put natural louvers in each gable end of the house, and then you wouldn't need a fan at all.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy's our guest today. Home maintenance, repair, and improvement. Back to the phones. Let's go to New Paltz. David, you're on.
Yes, Darren. I have a home that's a portion of it is has an infestation of powder post beetles. And what I did was I had blown insulation, foam insulation actually, put on the bottom part of the floor, and I put a vapor barrier on the ground because it was a dirt floor. And it helped for a while, but after a couple of years, the powder post beetle came back. And I'm thinking of putting urethane, a coat of urethane, maybe two or three coats on top of it, so to cut off the oxygen. Is there any other situation that you can recommend?
Yeah, I've got a quick question. You said you insulated the underside of your floor. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
With what type of insulation?
A foam.
Spray foam?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that can be a problem because you insulated the underside and you also put a vapor barrier down on the floor. You could, that insulation, that unless it's open cell spray foam insulation, that can trap moisture. You're trapping it between the bottom of your floor, of first floor and your basement floor. You could be trapping.
No, I think it's, they blew it in. They didn't blow it in. It was like a spray foam on the bottom.
Yeah. You might be creating a problem. You might be creating an environment that invites those powder post beetles.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Sounds like you're raising the humidity in your basement level. You're potentially. I'd get a humidistat down there and find out what your humidity is and try to keep it below 60%, 55%. Run a dehumidifier, and that might solve your help minimize your powder post beetle problem.
David.
Well, thank you very much. What about the urethane on top?
On top of the wood?
Yeah.
Yeah, inside. I'm not sure about that. I would consult with a pesticide, insecticide company.
Yeah.
You know, they come out and they spray for whatever. They would give you a better answer than I could.
They wanted to scrape off the foam, which would be a major job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I tell you what, send me a photograph or an email sometime after the program, and I can talk to you more about it. Sounds like there's more detail here. My email is darren@westbranchinc.com. And,
okay, thank you.
I'll see what
Thanks
I can
a
do.
Lot, David. And to be clear, Darren's not looking for work. This would just be a little free advice if he has time. And frankly, I don't know how you have the time because you're the current president of the Capital District Chapter of the New York State Society of Professional Engineers, and you like to take a vacation now and again and go out on the boat. By the way, could the Capital District Chapter of the New York State Society of Professional Engineers get a shorter name?
I was thinking that you were going to ask that because we do have an acronym for it, but it's a whole bunch of letters, too, so it's not that helpful.
Okay, all right. Well, let's just go to Burlington, Vermont. Jane is on. Hello, Jane.
Hi, Darren. I'm calling about my refinishing of my basement project that's currently underway. Right now, I have walls up. Can you hear me? Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. Yep.
Okay. So there are walls up, and the rooms have been divided. So it's two rooms and a bathroom all installed with flooring and everything. And I realized we had a dehumidifier down there that we realized was not working, so we replaced it. And I'm concerned about the venting from room to room. And so the last thing to be installed is the drop ceiling in one of the rooms. I'm wondering if you can recommend, like, a vent of some sort to maybe move the dehumidified air around the big space.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not totally tracking that, Jane, but I'll give it a try. You want to have a humidistat in the basement to track the humidity. They're inexpensive, $10 or so, and try to get it below 60%, 55% in the summertime. Sounds like you have some partitions in the finished basement. You could cut some holes in the partitions and put louvers in the wall. That would help enable you to move air around. You could set up a fan someplace in the basement. Hopefully you took care of the moisture concerns in before you did all the finish work. You want to separate moisture wicking up from the floor and from the walls from your living space in the basement. So there's quite a bit of building science to take into consideration before you undertake a basement improvement. So hopefully you touch base on all those.
Jane, makes sense?
Yes, it does. Okay, so nothing in the ceiling can go in now that would just improve the airflow.
Well, from the ceiling in the basement to where? Where are you trying to improve?
To like another spot in the big open room. So like, would that help? Like by putting instead of one drop ceiling tile, like some form of a grate, and then put one at the other end of the room, like another grate.
So where are you trying to move air from? One part of one room? Is it one open room or multiple rooms?
So there's three rooms.
Okay.
And in a bathroom in between. And so the dehumidifier is at one end of the space of the basement itself. It's in like a utility room and it's kind of closed up. So I do have some fans set up to move that air around.
Okay.
But the center room, which is longer, is where the finish work for the ceiling has not been completed yet.
What you said
so
that
it's an
you,
opportunity.
What you said that you did installing fans to move air around is what I was going to suggest. It's pretty basic and rudimentary, but give that a try and get your humidity gauges up and see if the humidity in one part of the building is matching or close to the humidity in the other part of the room. And if that takes care of it, you're good to go.
Work for you, Jane.
Okay, thanks so much, Darren. Thanks a lot. Yep.
Take it easy. Appreciate the call. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. If you have a home maintenance repair and improvement question for Darren Tracy, and the email address is voxpop@wamc.org. We'll check in on the email bag after the next break. But right now, it's Radio Gold. We're going to Argyle, folks. Merle. Hello, Merle. How you doing, buddy?
I woke up today.
Good for you. That's good. What's happening?
I had a hole in the plate roof. Took me a year to find it and fix it. So water's been going in the attic area. In the attic, I got two layers of bat insulation, one perpendicular to the other.
Okay.
And on top of that, I got at least 12 inches of blown insulation.
Okay.
How wet it got, I don't know. I haven't been up there, and now you don't have a lot of space.
Yeah.
Down to about 12 inches of attic open. Should the wet insulation, it's been up there for several years now, should that be removed all the way down to the ceiling, or what should I do?
Okay, so
you should have a good mushroom crop growing by now.
Really? I mean, how big How big was the hole, Merle?
It was 2x3.
2x3, and in what part of the house was this?
Right, wait. And it's a 200-year-old house.
Okay, slate roof, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's fiberglass insulation, right, Darren?
I'm not sure. It could be fiberglass or cellulose. Regardless, wet insulation is not good, and you don't need a big hole.
Right.
It can be a tiny pinhole, and you get these soaker storms, and you get water in the attic, and it's not good.
Okay.
Yeah. Slate roof.
All right, so what do you do?
You got to keep the water out. You got to manage the water. Most Most building maintenance...
That's the hole covered. That's not a problem.
Okay, so that's fixed.
Okay, if the hole is covered and no more water is entering the home...
Coming in.
Okay, it could be drying itself out. And you may not have a problem.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So really,
you might get lucky.
Is it fiberglass insulation, Merle?
Yeah, it's insulated, bat insulation.
Bat insulation.
12 inches. And on top of that, another 12 inches of blown insulation.
Okay, so the lower...
12 and 12, 24 inches.
Yeah. Roger that.
Yeah, so the upper layer was probably cellulose and the... bottom layer may have been fiberglass,
right.
Regardless if it gets wet.
Yeah, it is fiberglass. I put it in.
Okay, it becomes ineffective if it gets wet, but if you did solve the water leak, it probably would dry out these hot summer days, and you might be okay.
So don't worry about it.
I would take, if it was mine, I would take a look at it, and if there's mushrooms up there, I would worry about it.
Hey, Merle, I got to tell you something. You know, Darren can say don't worry about it, but I just want to let you know from our legal department, that is not legally binding. So if something's bad up there, it's on you, brother.
Yeah.
All right? I got to take
I'll worry about it anyway.
All right, man.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, I got to take a break. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. It's Darren Tracy. It's Home Maintenance and Repair. We'll be back. Sure, a little more Frank Zappa there for you. 800-348-2551. The microphone is out of the way there, Darren. What's up, man?
I just wanted to mention that one of the videos that you uploaded, you said you uploaded, referenced rehabbing an old basement. We've had a few basement questions. So it was an old basement with a dirt floor, 1800s house, late 1800s, boulder foundation. We made the improvements of putting in a vapor barrier, a slab, a sump. Did some repointing, really improved the characteristics of the house. It used to be smelly, moldy. That atmosphere from the basement seemed to always wick its way up into the living areas. But we got that new slab installed with a vapor barrier, and it's cozy.
Yeah, good.
It's a short video, too, 2 minutes. It's a YouTube channel, Darren Tracy Engineer on YouTube.
And I put, I think, two videos up there.
Yeah, the other one was... how to clean a septic tank filter.
Yeah, I've been that exciting video.
Well, it's, you know, if you live in the country and you have your own residential wastewater treatment system,
right.
You want it to function properly because when they fail at the most inopportune times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a filter in the system is really helpful, I think. Not all systems have those filters. They can be added after the fact, and you need to clean those a couple times a year, and that another short video that describes how you clean the filter.
Okay. This email from Laura, who doesn't say where Laura's from. I have an heirloom swing my grandfather made. Oh, cool. A bench-style wooden swing I'd love to hang on my porch. A screened-in, covered porch. The ceiling has plywood panels. If I use a stud finder to find the beams, could I screw the hooks into the same beam? Would it withstand the weight of the potentially 100-pound swing plus two adults, or would I be better off changing direction and using two different beams to spread the weight? How much weight can one beam stand? And that's from Laura.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of variables there. Depends on how deep the beam is, or joist, or rafter, the span of the rafter, all of that, and then also the pullout strength of the fastener. Generally, I would say you'd want to spread that load out over one rafter, and that gives you a good chance to use a better fastener too. You do want to make sure that holds, because it's, you know, it's a safety issue when it falls down. I put a swing in our home.
Yeah,
we have a beam. I used a lag, and the wood shrank over time. It was a good size lag, but it pulled out, and I fell in my hind end. It was not good.
Really?
Yeah, so I reinstalled it and epoxied it, and then they used two additional safety lags. So, I mean, you really should have somebody take a look at that knows what they're doing.
Darren Tracy's our guest today. It's Home Maintenance, Repair, and Improvement. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Nancy is in Selkirk. Hello, Nancy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I have an old water softener that's on its last legs. It's probably, I think it's 14 years old. And I'd like to know what Darren recommends as far as a whole house filtration system that would get the crud out of the water and the chlorine and all the stuff that's bad for you, but keep the good stuff in and be for the whole house. Also, which systems to avoid.
Hi, Nancy. Yeah, I'm not a water chemistry specialist, although I've dealt with a bunch of residential water problems. First step is getting a chemical analysis of your water problems. There are some companies out there that do that.
What companies would those be?
I don't know.
That you'd recommend?
Oh, well, I don't want them to do recommendations. That's one thing we do stay away from. You can mention a couple few, okay. But don't...
I mean, I know one big one that probably everybody knows is Culligan.
Yeah, they have the ads on TV.
Yeah, and there are other competitive companies similar to that. That's where I would start. We really need a professional analysis of water.
I just don't want to spend a fortune paying somebody to come out every 2 weeks to analyze the water.
You do not need them to come out every 2 weeks to analyze the water, but you do need
whatever maintenance.
Right.
Whatever maintenance
there is maintenance.
That's
the problem with your own personal water system versus a municipal water system. A municipal water system, you've got people out there that do that stuff all the time, and that's why you pay that monthly fee for your water bill.
I have town water.
Oh, you have
and
town
part
water.
Part of the problem is we used to get our water from the alcove, but that got all changed probably a decade or so ago, maybe two decades ago, and now our water has all this junk in it and a lot more chlorine. So that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Okay. That you might have to table that one for now, Darren.
Well, like I said, I'm not a water chemistry specialist.
Yeah.
Hire somebody like Culligan to come in.
There are many that'll do it.
And I know that our well, we had a lot of iron and sulfur in it, and I've got this big, expensive, complicated system. But then after a few years, our water cleared up, and we didn't need it at
Interesting.
All.
Interesting. Do you know why it cleared up?
No.
That's a little disconcerting.
Well,
Nancy, thank you.
Yeah. I can speculate. I mean, we're down into rock, and maybe we just picked up the iron deposits in the local area, and we flushed them out over a few years. And
so what'd you use, reverse osmosis on that?
No, we injected with chlorine, and then it oxidized the iron out. We flushed out the iron, backwashed the iron, that type of thing.
Darren Tracy is our guest today. It's home maintenance, repair, and improvement. The number is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. To Brattleboro we go. It's Joyce. Hello, Joyce.
Hi. I'm so excited to have you on, Darren. My question is, I've been looking for a place to live, and both in Massachusetts and in Vermont. And this emphasis on accessory dwelling units right now is really big. And what I'm finding is that it doesn't seem like the building inspectors are really doing a good job of inspecting these accessory dwelling units. And I especially have a big bone of contention about people creating apartments above garages where they store gasoline equipment, including their cars.
Aha.
I'm really worried about benzene poisoning.
Okay. So you want to comment on that, Darren?
Well, it's a building code issue, and typically codes are administrated through townships.
Right.
So, each town has their own building department, and if somebody is making improvements to their garage and turning it into a living quarters, they should be filing for a permit.
Right.
And that gets somebody like me or an architect involved, a design professional, and they come up with a set of plans that take care of all the concerns and make the project compliant with current building code regulations. For instance, you mentioned a garage below. You want to make sure you've got type 5/8x fireproofing sheetrock versus standard half-inch
right.
sheetrock, things like that.
So that's what you're looking for when you're looking for a place there,
right.
Joyce.
It all goes through the building department, each town's building department. Now, I know some people go ahead and make some renovations without building permit, and that becomes a problem. In fact, I just received a call last week. Somebody put an in-law, same thing, an in-law apartment in, and somehow somebody complained about noise ordinance the building department was called in, and it wasn't even their problem, but they found out that this was constructed without a building permit. Now it's a big issue because you've got to go back in and tear things apart.
Neighbors are great, aren't they? They drop the dime on a person who put
something in
for
the in-laws. It was like
a
sound ordinance issue. So they went back, the town went back and checked all the in-law type apartments.
Right.
And checked on each one. And this particular house didn't even have any neighbors. So it wasn't them. That was a problem.
Interesting.
But, you know, they have the tough job of going back and getting their space retroactively approved to live in.
Care to name the town?
No.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
All right. That might make for some really exciting radio. 800-348-2551 is the number. Darren Tracy's our guest today, and the email is voxpop@wamc.org. Helena in Amherst says, where only the H is silent. That's funny. Solar panels and squirrels on the roof. I have solar panels on the roof and was told I need squirrel guards or they'll wreck the roof. One, is that true? Two, how and where do I get someone to put in the guards? I'm renting the panels, so should the company be able to put them in? Three, anything else I ought to know?
Well, I can tell you anecdotally that my wife and I have panels on our house and have had them for, I don't know, 15 years or so. We've never had a squirrel problem.
Really?
Yeah, with the panels. In fact, I've never even really heard of a squirrel problem.
Well, you haven't been to Amherst, obviously.
Yeah.
My backyard.
I don't know. I mean, they could nest underneath and chew wires or what have you.
So what would a squirrel guard be, man?
I don't know.
Screen?
I really don't know. Yeah, screen or netting so they don't get underneath the panels. It's one of those situations where I wouldn't worry about it until the problem really exhibited itself.
But, I mean, Helena says, you know, it'll wreck the roof. She's being told that.
Well, again, I've never heard of that problem. And I have my panels myself. I'm sure there are instances out there where it could be a problem, but I don't think it's a real prevalent problem. I wouldn't scratch where it doesn't itch on that one.
All right. And question three, of course, is anything else she ought to know?
Not really. I mean, our panels have been such low maintenance. We've done absolutely nothing to them. Maybe keep trees trimmed up around them so that they don't shade the panels, because depending on the type of panel you have, if you shade part of one panel, it affects your whole system. And there, newer systems have individual inverters on each panel, so that's not such a big deal. If you shade one panel, it doesn't affect the rest.
Yeah.
Older systems have one larger inverter for the whole system. And like I said, if you shade part, it affects the whole array significantly.
Now, you said you have had these about 15 years?
Yeah.
And when did they pay off?
I think the payoff was about 11 or 12 years.
Yeah.
We took advantage of NYSERDA's
right.
program. This is way back when it was we got a lot of money for it.
Yep.
It was like $20,000+
wow.
for the system. I did the math, and the payback was still out there, like 11, 12 years. But, you know, we're on to year 15 now.
Yeah, and
so,
they're still efficient and working well?
You know, they're pretty efficient. We put in 3 kW initially, and then another 2.5 kW. We've never had to pay an electric bill other than the base service charge.
You're kidding me.
No, it works out well for us. And then we use a mini split. So that extra electricity that we use it for heating and cooling. It's a pretty good system. And then you couple that with you insulate your house well, and you go a long ways to keeping money in your wallet versus sending it out of your wallet.
I like it. Irene writes in, my question is about a water pressure tank in our basement. Each month, we need to purge the pressure tank because the water from the house faucets starts sputtering and spitting. Do we need to replace the whole tank or a part?
Well, it sounds like that's a residential water system where you have a well and you have a local pressure tank in your basement, and that acts as a reservoir. So when you turn your faucet on, your pump doesn't have to turn on all the time. There's a surcharge in that pressure tank. It sounds like it's waterlogged, and I may have a video on my website or on my YouTube channel about that. But these pressure tanks, you pre-charge them with an air hose, like a bicycle tire pump, and there's a bladder in them. And over time, that bladder can rip or tear and become ineffective. And so it sounds like that might be the situation. So you might need a new pressure tank.
But it's not normal to have to do it every month, right?
No, it's not normal. You could do it every month. I mean, back in the day, there were pressure tanks. How much time?
About a minute and a half here.
So I'll just take a few seconds to explain. Okay. They had these steel tanks. You know, when I was growing up, and same principle, you'd have the pump come on and pressurizes the air in this tank and builds up like a surcharge so that every time you turn the faucet on, the pump doesn't have to turn on and turn off, turn on and turn off, because that's when motors really wear out. If you can run a motor for a while and have it shut off, it will last longer. So that's the idea of the pressure tank.
All right, Darren Tracy. Well, we got one more call on the line. We'll try to get to John in Beckett, Massachusetts. And let's go over there now, and we'll go to John. You ready, Jim? There he is.
Of course, now.
Hello, Jim.
Before. Do I stay on?
Hello, John. Hello, John. Earth to John. We only have about 30 seconds, buddy. Go ahead.
Okay. Long story short, LVL beam is like 3.5 wide by, I think it's 8 or 9 inches high. To support an exterior deck that's very heavy. It was starting to deteriorate. I said to the contractor, this isn't holding up, like 6 months later. A year later, I just replaced it myself with a pressure-treated beam. On top of the LVL, it says not preservative-treated. So the question is, am I missing something about why they used an LVL that, by all things I can tell, was only meant for interior use, not exterior? Am I missing something?
No, I don't think so. I think you're right. I think that was meant for interior use and should not have been used on a deck unless it was really well protected, some sort of aluminum flashing over top of that. Sounds like inappropriate application of the use of that beam. So you're better off with pressure treated.
That's what I decided, just by the fact that it was flaking and coming undone. So I replaced it. Okay. I just thought, we're going to send them a bill. We'll see what happens for my time and the materials, and we'll see what happens. But just curious if I was missing something.
John, we're out of time here, buddy.
Thanks very much for taking my
call. Appreciate it.
What's that?
We're out of time, but thanks for the call. Darren Tracy, thanks again for being here. Have a lovely summer. I'll see you when? What, fall? When are you on again?
I'm not sure. A couple months, maybe.
You know, I'm going to fire my producer. I don't know when anything is.
The producer, right?
All right, then. I'll fire myself. Thanks again for being here, buddy. Have a good summer. Regards to the wife. Support comes from Mill Store, 1865, 121 Benmont Ave, Bennington, Vermont, featuring fine art, antiques, interior decor shop, and curated gifts for the home. MillStore1865.com. And the Glimmer Glass Festival, presenting Madame Butterfly. Is it a typo or is it Madame Butterfully? I'm not sure. We'll find out. July 11th through August 17th. Tickets on sale now. Information at glimmerglass.org. We'll check in with underwriting. We'll find out. Thanks again to Darren Tracy for being here. Thanks to Emily Forrester on her maiden voyage engineering this program. Well done. Thanks to Jim Hendler, who screened the calls today. Talk about overqualified. I'm Ray Graff, underqualified for everything. Tomorrow, we remember some of the heroes of the Revolutionary War from our region with a trio of historians. We'll see you at 2:00.